from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
I am your host with the most, Alon, Chatterbox and, Game Show.
And I...
Go ahead.
Yeah, what? Sure.
The most what? What?
You can do it. Go.
And I was about to say, I'm the harbinger of our silent epidemic, otherwise known as Aura.
What do you have the most of, Alon?
And that's Rich.
The most interruptions.
All right, so... We do this show called the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show every week. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about it. Just don't go there right now because it apparently is totally down.
I think I have the most interruptions, not Alon.
No, you're the most interrupted.
No, I interrupt
the most interrupting.
Alon does the most interruptions.
I don't think that's true.
Well, the past 20 seconds maybe.
Okay,
interrupting who, though? I think Alon interrupts
scout
more.
Badge.
But I think I interrupt Aura more, and then he gives me the look in the eyes.
Yes.
All right. But we are having the privilege of interrupting people's lives with this program. So let's talk about games, right? We got all this stuff. You've got all these papers strewn about.
I'm actually really excited this week, and I'm not making it up for once.
Sweet.
To talk about a whole bunch of these crazy, crazy things going on in video games.
I like all these fancy color images I have in front of me from your printer. Yeah. So we'll talk about these. I also... I played Mad World with Rich a couple weeks ago.
Which does not have crazy color images.
No, not at all.
No.
I think we want to talk about that a bit.
Yeah.
And also, you and I, Aura. So I worked with Rich to play a game, and then I worked with you. We went over, played some other games, sort of saw other games, when we went to the Flashbang Studios here in Tempe.
That's right.
We're in Phoenix right now.
They're a bunch of cool guys locally, and so we gave them a visit, and it was fun.
It was pretty sweet. So we did that, and... I guess let's start off, Rich. Let me ask you, what was your impression of... Well, before I even ask you, for those who are unclear, Mad World has been touted as some graphically special, unique, or interesting game that's a very, very overly violent game on the Wii. It's rare that you get terribly violent games on the Wii. I guess Manhunt 2 was on the Wii.
Would you say that it's... Would you even go so far as to say that it's innovative?
No,
I wouldn't use the word innovative.
It's pretty much the opposite of innovative.
But they
style is kind of innovative, wouldn't you say?
No,
no,
not so much. But it's been getting a lot of attention because of the art style and because of the over the top violence. So, Rich, let me ask you, what were your impressions of Sega's Mad World game?
Completely disappointing, underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
Okay, well, what were you expecting? Because I often find that people's expectations determine their reaction.
I didn't know a lot about the game. I mean, really, what I had heard about it is, obviously, it's black and white, and all the blood is red, and that's cool.
By black and white, we mean monochrome, not grayscale. Like, it's either black or white.
Yeah. Okay.
In certain areas.
Whatever.
But it's total
and basically, basically, what I heard about it is, it's a third-person action game that's violent and you kill people, and that that's really what I knew about it.
Okay.
And people were, from what I heard from a lot of people, is they're saying it's a fun game, and it's pretty much the only fun game on the Wii.
Enjoy No More Heroes?
From what people said.
Since No More Heroes, Mad World was the next.
What
good
about
game.
Super Smash Brothers Brawl? Didn't people enjoy that?
Only losers.
What?
Wow.
I thought you were a big fan of Smash Brothers.
It was actually a lot of fun on the GameCube.
Mainly. Okay, if Rich just called you a loser, you can call in at 866-536-1100.
No, Brawl was just a huge disappointment.
What do you mean? I thought everybody loves Brawl.
I actually really hate that game too, but I'm not going to derail this anymore than it has been already.
The only place to go with Brawl is to add online play, because that's what people wanted from Melee. And they added the most contrived, impossible to understand, worthless online play in existence, just like every other Wii game. It's pointless.
I want to get back to Mad World.
All right, Mad World.
Because I haven't played it. And I'm also curious if Rich was alive when the so-called old school fighting games were around. And if he's played those.
Oh,
and if,
yeah.
And if that's any basis of comparison.
He may have. So he says
old school,
underwhelming.
Like, fighting games, like you mean...
Like Double Dragon?
Like Double Dragon.
Like POW? Is that what
like, yeah, yeah, okay, sure,
Battle
why not?
Battletoads, Streets of Rage,
yeah,
those kind of games.
Battletoads, not so much fighting unless you never got past the first stage. But
Ninja Turtles?
No, Battletoads, the impossible stage is when you go on the cart under... And there's like all the walls in the way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That one's hard.
It's the second stage.
Yeah.
Out of like eight. And it gets then, like, exponentially harder each
yeah.
stage.
Okay, so...
Anyways...
Rich's explanation of the game, it's not exactly off. The game pretty much sucks.
So why does it suck so much? Can you guys articulate this?
The entire game is you're this ex-cop that's thrown into this world, and it's like this
game. It's very much Escape from New York.
Is he a detective now? He used to be a cop.
No, it's basically like this game that people watch.
It's a game show.
Where people kill each other.
In an active game show. It's very much Escape from New York or that...
All right, all right. So that's
cool.
Movie
with Schwarzenegger
all right, so that's plot, so that's whatever.
And so,
like,
the
what's
entire
the game
is kill people as brutally as possible, which consists of cutting them in half with a chainsaw.
Okay, sounds like
throwing
fun.
Throwing them onto spikes.
Also fun.
Or there's the put a tire over their body and then put a sign through their neck and then throw them onto spikes.
Also sounds fun, at least in theory.
With all fairness, I'm pretty sure you can put the signpost through their head without them being covered by a tire or a
yeah.
barrel.
Oh, yeah.
It's good that
you don't have to do them
that.
In that
you
order.
You can do it the other way around. But the ideal is, like, you want to do as many things to them before
okay.
they die to get more
so,
points.
So let me answer your question, explain to you why it sucks. Because there are some fighting games that are good, like Double Dragon. How do you
right.
decide to find this game? And honestly, I wouldn't have much fun with it these days, but back in the day it was fun. You find some bad guys. You use whatever variations of attacks are available to you. And you kill them. In the meantime, they're trying to kill you.
And hopefully there's some skill involved.
key point there. They are
don't
trying to kill you.
Don't give it away. They are trying to kill you
okay,
as well.
All right.
Hence, there's some amount of challenge. So instead, this game said, ooh, we want to demonstrate to people the cool ways that you can kill other people. You can pick up stuff and hit them with it. You can throw them. So now imagine it's you, one guy, in a room or some sort of environment with, let's say, five other guys.
All right.
They all want to kill you. You want to kill them. Now, the want to kill you part is strictly plot. The gameplay aspect...
Are you saying that this is like Close Range where they come right up to you and smile and wait for you to...
I'm not familiar with Close Range, but what you just described very, very well describes this game.
From last week,
the
you
game
just shoot in the face.
Oh, that!
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Close
yeah.
Range is a little bit easier than Mad World.
A little bit, yeah. Just
right.
because the control
well,
is very
this doesn't
precise.
Sound good
every
so far,
now
but...
and then, they'll hit you in Mad World. But, like, not often.
Okay, now...
All it is a museum for death. Like, you walk through and you beat up the guy. You beat up the guy, you beat up the guy.
This is kind of interesting to me because I have two questions in response to this. The first one being that... I'm going to get to both of them before you guys retort back. But the first one being that... did you guys just not get far enough for it to get hard? And the second one being that... Is it actually not even the kind of game you thought it was, but because your expectations... are so geared towards a fighting game presenting a challenge in a certain way that you just can't wrap your head around what the game really is quite yet.
No. I mean,
we played for a few hours, a couple hours.
I don't know.
I'd say two.
I don't know how long. Honestly, I played like the first level and then I gave it to Rich and I just watched, you know, I did like I was eating or grabbing a drink or looking on the computer or whatever.
Right.
And every once in a while looking up to see if something interesting happened.
And
so I was very passively watching. But he was playing fairly intently, and he played through. You played past
levels.
At least one boss, right?
Yeah, there was like a, I don't know, some sort of jet turbine, and then there's a boss and like a train, and there was a few different levels.
Let me give you some background to why I'm asking this, which incidentally, I want to reference another Sega game called Gun Valkyrie, which I don't know, maybe it's a similar team or some of the same people,
okay.
Because what you guys are telling me, at least emotionally, was almost the exact same experience I had with that game, where looking at the game, I expected something very straightforward, right? Which was, oh, this is a third-person action game where I shoot things and beat up people and so on, right? And the control scheme in the game was so unconventional that it was so bizarre that the only way you could ever possibly hope to enjoy that game and understand what it was like was to throw out all of your preconceptions about every single game you've played that looked like that before and just pretend like you were just like a naive kid looking at it for the first time. Because otherwise, it was just so weird, right, that you would just – that's it. Like,
I heard that was
compute
game,
in your
that
head.
Game was difficult to control yeah. as well. But
right.
No, this game, like honestly, I didn't go into it with many expectations because I hadn't bothered to to look up much about it ahead of time. I just knew you're a dude in an environment
right.
and
no,
it's
no,
very
but my,
violent.
No, but my point is that your expectations are going to be there based on your history with other games, regardless of whether they're intentional
no, but
or not.
Regardless of what your expectations are or your past history, the bottom line is it's clear that they had the intention of demonstrating a certain artistic style, right? Because mm-hmm. they totally veered from any standard fare, right? They're showing this game off visually as something different and somewhat artistic. And honestly, it doesn't do a bad job there. It looks interesting. And I wonder if they did the black and white thing to sort of cope with the fact that there's so much violence in it, because it is intended to just be super, super violent. So mm-hmm. the black and white detracts from the emotional connection. But the bottom line is, you play a game, but this isn't a game. It's just walk around and put the player in an environment so that they can see all the cool ways that we created for people to die. But there's no challenge, and a game needs to be inherently challenging, which I think is what you don't like about Flow and Flower. There's no challenge, there's no rankings, there's nothing. It's just, here, do some stuff. Not so much a game, more an experience. This is just an experience
that
touts itself as a game,
well,
and
not to say
is
that
only
that's
fun for 3 minutes.
In and of itself, if you don't want to be challenged, but if you do want to be challenged, then yeah, it's hella disappointing.
If you want to have some sort of gameplay, but it's not just, great, I can throw them into some spikes. I can throw them at a train. Like, okay, I'm done with that. Like, the whole game is just show me how coolly I can kill somebody. And that's not a game.
That sounds pretty weird.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about more when we're back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox, video game radio. Now, I know that there's something you want to mention, like
all sorts
we always
of stuff.
Do. There's a little bit of housekeeping I'd like to do as well.
Sure.
So I'd like to just let everyone know that there's this yearly thing that I do with me and some colleagues of mine, and it's called Camp Game. It's this thing at ASU, Arizona State University.
To be clear, the yearly thing you've done how many times?
This is going to be the second time.
Okay.
So now it's yearly.
Hopefully.
Now
yearly.
It's become annual. The ethereal event.
But actually, this program has been going on for actually...
For years like, and years.
The
years
second
and years,
like annual.
Five more years than I've been involved. And basically, you know, myself, I teach a design course there. And, you know, one of my colleagues teaches programming. And we have someone also who teaches art. And it's basically a program to teach high school kids about video game development in a very, very short time frame of 6 weeks. And we use the Unreal tools. And it's a pretty cool thing. And if you're interested, just go and just Google ASU Camp Game, and you can find more about it.
Can I ask, when you say Unreal tools,
yeah,
what specifically do you mean?
So the stuff you get when you buy Unreal, right? The stuff that's accessible to anyone.
So like Unreal Engine 2.5 would be my assumption, which is Unreal Tournament 2004. That's what you use, or
we've used that in the past years, and we're probably, I'm not sure if it's certain or not, but we're probably going to go to Unreal 3 this year.
Okay.
So now that we've advertised for ASU,
yes,
the Arizona State University Camp Game Program, we're now going to remind you that UAT.edu is the website for the University of Advancing Technology, another sponsor of ours.
Which is not for high school kids.
Not for high school kids. No, it's if you want to go to a university, you go there. And they have some cool programs. You can
learn to
program and design and do the art and all that good stuff. We have two people who have attended that university in the studio right now.
Indeed.
Right now.
And I'm not one of them, so
you
can figure it out.
Now, we were talking about Mad World. Said it kind of sucked. I guess we can leave it at that. Like, if anybody wants to give it a try, it's honestly, it's interesting for like 2 minutes as you kill guys, and then it stops being interesting very, very, very quickly.
Okay, I just have one last thing about that.
Okay, ask a question.
Do you think that it's just a game? It might be just a game about, you know, just optimizing your score, where it's not like you don't really get, you don't die or get penalized. It's just get the best score you can or something like that.
There is scoring. There's combo scoring based on how, I guess, how well you kill them. Like
does the easiness compel you to try to get a better score by putting more tires over
I never
your
played
enemies
it.
Or whatever?
So I passed it off to Rich before I even learned about the scoring combo system. So I never tried for score.
Yeah.
But I'll ask you, Rich, if you cared. I might have tried for the high score.
When I was playing it, like, obviously, like, they the game itself in some way encourages you to get a higher score.
Yeah, well,
it definitely does.
It definitely encourages you to get a high score.
If it doesn't threaten you with virtual death, it better encourage you to do something.
I could be wrong, but when I was in playing, it didn't seem to have any actual effect on anything other than,
you got a number of points.
Like, that's all it was.
It's kind of like playing Pac-Man when you always have the power pellet.
But, I mean, and one last thing, like, for me, I'm the guy that plays games on easy.
Like, yeah, I pointed that out while he was playing.
Like, this game was, like, less than easy. Like, it was just no point at all.
So this is going to be a really interesting experiment, I think, for the market, because there's always a group of people that complains that games are too hard, and there's always a group of people that complains that, well, they'll still complain that it's too easy.
It's not even a difficulty factor, though.
And too violent.
It's not even that it's too easy or too hard. It's just that the things you're killing on the screen don't do anything to try to prevent you from doing those things to them. And that'd be the fun in killing something, is that it's trying to not be killed, right?
By the way, that's the fun that I gained.
I thought it was especially interesting that after you shove a signpost through his head,
he's
clearly
still
dead
around.
At that point. Did they walk?
Yeah, they can still like stand there and
stutter
like,
a little bit. You get more points for then slamming them into walls of spikes.
One other thing
after
too
putting a signpost through their
head. If you put a tire over them, obviously they stand there and let you put a tire over them, and then they just stand there and not try to remove said tire.
But it's all that might be difficult though, but it's great when you're walking around very slowly with a tire and you like, put it on one guy, first of all he lets you, but the other three guys around you don't stop.
Yeah, there's three guys standing there, you grab a tire, and then you go and slam it on one guy, and then you run around and try to find the signpost and pull that out, and then weave back through those three enemies again to get to the first enemy, and then stick that signpost through his neck. And it's like, you literally just walk through a crowd of enemies to get to a specific enemy to deal damage to that enemy. It's ridiculous.
And since it's not awesome, let's move on and talk about something
else. Yeah, let's do that.
So last week, another thing that you and I did, was go to Flashbang Studios.
Yes, they were nice and friendly enough to invite us over for lunch, and that was really cool.
I'd actually met these guys a couple years ago, but I hadn't talked to them in a long time. So it's good to finally see their studio, which I hadn't done before. Very cool place to hang out.
You know,
they got computers and a pull-up bar, games and whatnot.
They get kudos for the pull-up bar, which is actually fastened to the, I guess, steel frame of the building above the ceiling.
Do they have a break room similar to the break room in Grandma's Boy?
They have a room with games in it.
Where you can play Frog Bog against each other.
Yeah, I don't
know. It was exactly like that. They also have a guy in a cape that walks around.
But I got them to show Aura Shadow Physics because I was so excited about it, which is cool. You know, very much just an alpha, like not even an alpha, just an idea, right?
Yeah, it was really cool, and it was in fact what I thought it was going to be. So,
okay. I described it well.
So you did a good job of describing.
So I'm wondering if it's like what I think it's going to be in my head.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Your cognitive skills might not be as Aura's.
I was also very impressed to find out that the Flashbang people are music game fans.
And that they
knew what Keyboard Mania was, which is a special elite nerd badge of honor in my book.
Well, one thing that I remember about them is when I went over to their place, like one of their apartments or something, not the studio, a couple years ago, they had talked about just getting Guitar Hero and how awesome it was. But this was before Guitar Hero was released, but after it was like accidentally sold at Best Buy for a while. And so I really wanted to play it, but they wouldn't break it out to show me, even though it was supposed to be awesome. So I had to wait a couple months to get my own, or some period of time when I finally got my own. So that's what I remember about them. Now, I remember also talking to them on Thursday saying that I went to their website and I couldn't figure it out. Like, there are lots and lots and lots of games to buy. So flashgamestudio.com, not really their website. I mean, it is their website, but it's not a website showing off their own games. It's just a money-making like thing for affiliate stuff. So if you want to buy those games, great, it'll help them out. But if you want to see the games that they're actually making, you should go to blurst.com, blurst.
It's kind of like burst with a blur.
Exactly. That's where you can see Off-Road Velociraptor Safari, which is, I guess, probably their most popular game because it's the main thing on the website. They also recently finished a game called Blush, which they described to us as kind of like Flow, and I immediately told them they shouldn't do that because we're not huge fans of Flow.
Well, now, to their credit, they also, at least one of them did say, well, it looks kind of like it, but in fact, it's not at all like it. And
yeah, it definitely looks like Flow.
It is not at all like it. The only similarity really is that it's vaguely underwater and bluish.
It looks like but it's an actual game.
And then you know, okay, so you know the characters are vaguely you know
it
amoeba-like.
Seems like it's in water, and you're looking at a character from the same perspective, okay. And he moves around in a similar way.
Game.
But there's gameplay involved. It's okay. A little clearer. Yeah. The cool thing about their games is that they're all free, and so I was kind of like trying to perform these, as South Park might say, mental gymnastics to figure out like what their business is, because none of their games cost money. They're all freely playable on the Intertrons right from their website. So I'm trying to get a handle on this. I know they do some other contract work and for, you know, companies where they told us they made some games for Cisco, like internal games and stuff to educate people within Cisco. And that's neat. It's cool that you can get it's a cool group of cats together who just, they make money, but they also get to just build stuff they want.
Yeah.
Like that's cool. And then maybe down the road in the future, they'll start selling stuff for subscription fees or something like that. But for now, all free. And they just like, I mean, for lack of a better word, they get to just screw around, right? And make these cool games that people like that aren't, you know, they're not AAA titles that are taking months and months to make. They make games, you know, 1 to 2 months. They've released a couple iPhone games. I wouldn't even know how to find them. I don't know if they're released under the name Blurst or Flashbang Studios, but search for them if you want. They're a few bucks. And their games actually are not crap. So, I mean, cool. They're kind of fun. They're not games you're going to sit in front of for 20 hours, but they're the kind of games that, like, you just sit down and play for a bit. And they're all made with the Unity engine. And when I...
That sounds cool.
When I first played, like, Off-Road Velociraptor Safari from home, and then I went to the Unity Engine website, I found other games that are free and made from Unity Engine. A lot of interesting games from, like, indie developers that turn out to be really interesting. So I urge you all to go to blurst.com, B-L-U-R-S-T, and, you know, play Minotaur China Shop, which is when you play a Minotaur in a China shop and you run around.
Not
and, like,
miniature,
break plates.
Minotaur.
Minotaur, yeah. All of their games seem to be like run with animals. They did show us a game that we don't really want to talk about too much because we don't know if they want us to talk about upcoming games, but like finally they're going to use human characters. So
cool.
And I should also mention that, you know, since they are in town and local, they do not accept walk-ins and solicitors unless you are a Jamba Juice delivery man or a paleontologist.
I didn't know that. Are they into the Jamba Juice?
And paleontologist.
That's good stuff.
Yes. So only those two people may enter.
All right. Cool. Well, we've got plenty to talk about when we get back. Stay tuned.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
I'm still Aura. Your silent epidemic.
And Rich,
my name's Rich.
Sorry again that the website's down. If those are listening live, you want to go to the website or the chat room or something, you can still join the chat if you have your own IRC client. I don't even remember the details to tell you, but whatever.
I don't know.
You can. It's Chatterboxers at like one of the servers.
Is it QuakeNet?
QuakeNet? Sure, that sounds right.
I don't know.
Anyway.
And you can't go to the forum to get the information.
Yeah.
Is that...
No, the forum's on a different server.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, forum's totally on a different server, so if I knew what they were, I could put them there. unfortunately, though, that also means I probably won't be able to get the show uploaded tonight, which is bad news. Anyway, speaking to the server admins, or trying to right now, but, you know, East Coast, sleepy time. So we want to talk about a couple things. We've got, stories about gifts, gifts and mail.
So let's give everybody a little background here. When you're the press, right, when you're the video game press, one of the perks you enjoy is that you get lots and lots of really cool gifts from companies who make games.
Other people we don't get.
Yeah, let's explain. We
don't get cool presents.
Usually, well, if you're the important press, right? I should
Although that would be awesome if we did get this specific cool present.
Now, I can't.
Mama said punch you out.
Let me give you some examples of like how cool these things are that you get when you're the real press.
I know one.
What's that?
You get a booklet
Hookers
about
and booze.
Lair that has filler text that isn't complete, and then you get another thing about Lair that the game's not done yet.
What's Lair?
It was that dragon flying game on PS2.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not talking about matter. Lame things. I'm talking about cool things, right?
Hookers and booze.
Like, besides that, right? In the mail, it's hard to ship
letters
hookers.
From Peter Molyneux.
But it's, come on, guys.
Gift certificates for local hookers.
All right. I'm going to try to shut both your mics off if we keep this up.
I don't interrupt you ever.
When I used to work as press, right? I used to work for this magazine called Tips and Tricks, right? And some of the coolest things we got, for example, was the game Jammer Lammy music game,
yep.
Right? We got an Jammer Lammy guitar,
that
a
sounds
real
awesome.
Electric guitar, themed and colored in the Jammer Lammy theme. Of course, there's only one, and so since I was an editor in chief, I didn't get it. But that's one cool thing. Some of the cool things that I did end up getting were, for example, for Smuggler's Run. They had a very cool fake book that they gave me, which is useful for hiding things, if you catch my drift.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
So, and then when Smuggler's Run 2 came out, since they already did the fake book, they did a fake VHS tape, which I guess will stick out now since nobody uses them. But anyway.
What's the VHS tape for?
We get a lot of cool things. And so EA, when they were wanting to promote their Godfather 2 game, they said... these press people are always very diligently these PR people are very, very diligently trying to come up with creative ideas to get the attention of the press, because there's just so many games and you just got to do something to stand out, right?
And these days hookers and booze are not very creative.
It's it's like old hat, it's like you have so many of those after a while, it's like
So I did get a bottle of booze actually from somebody a few years ago at GDC, I think.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was some rum. They just put a new label over the old, or it was
nice.
Labeled differently with the video game.
There you go. So
it was a pirate game.
I really hate to beat someone who's down, but this person who's down right now is a corporation, so I don't hate it that much. But basically what EA did is in as part of their promotion for the Godfather 2, they sent out across the country, throughout various locations, among other things, a set of brass knuckles.
Real brass knuckles.
Yes, because they don't mess around, these PR people. They get the real deal. And unfortunately, the real deal is illegal.
So I'm curious how they got them.
See, what you should have done is...
It's like they're federally illegal, right?
Well, no, I think it's on a per-state thing. So yeah. I don't know if they're federally illegal, but they are illegal in California, where EA is based out of. I know that in...
Is there a PR firm in another state? Because I can't understand how they would obtain these.
I don't know. Well, I think that, in the continuing quest to get the attention of the press, you may forget once in a while that what you're giving them is illegal.
No, but, if they're illegal, how'd they get them?
Yeah.
Oh, because I can't picture them going to the streets and be like, psst,
well,
hey, Vito, we need 100 sets of brass knuckles. Can you get them to my office?
Presumably, it's legal in some states and not others. I don't know
the
exhaustive list, but right. So in California, they're illegal to possess, but in Colorado, they're also illegal, but they're a class one misdemeanor. Anyway, yes. So lots of brass knuckles got shipped out all across the country, and now they're asking for them back, and this obviously spilled out to the internet.
That'd be a big old hell no.
So that's, yes. They're asking for them back because they want to make sure that they get properly disposed of. Because if
properly distributed within the office,
and
nobody knows about it.
Now, I have a picture here of the brass knuckles. Obviously, those listening can't see it, but I don't know. These look kind of distinctive, wouldn't you say?
They look like they're actual brass, which is cool, because the brass knuckles I've seen in the past are not brass.
Right, yeah. But you could possibly even trace them back because they just look so distinctive. With the pattern and all those corners that will hurt a lot when you punch someone.
I think those are pretty standard brass knuckles, man.
Okay. Well,
See, if you had a pair of brass knuckles, maybe you could have gotten that Jammer guitar or whatever.
Yeah, from your editor in chief.
Yeah, okay, see.
Ha-ha!
So obviously they're doing damage control, and I feel kind of bad for the people who started this and did it without considering that, maybe it's illegal, but what can you do?
Then I heard... on an unrelated but sort of related note, that Godfather 2 was terrible anyways, but...
Well, see, as it usually goes, the...
The bad games get the really cool presents.
I mean, it's not really, exact, but it just seems like some really bad games just get the best press goodies.
Yeah.
And you can guess why. So that's one thing.
Like illegal brass knuckles.
Another thing is, let me just talk a little bit about racing... Because we haven't yet this show.
Do it.
This whole month, I don't think we've talked about racing.
Well, now you're in for a doozy.
What?
So on Xbox Live Arcade this week, Outrun is coming out, which I'm really excited about.
It's not just any Outrun, right? Doesn't it have like some crazy subtitle?
Well,
just Outrun Online Arcade?
Outrun Online Arcade.
Super Street Fighter Turbo.
So hopefully it's a perfect replication of the arcade game, which would be really sweet.
You mean of a new arcade game or the one from like 1985?
No, not 85. No. More like 2005.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last one that came out.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. Also, I have to announce to everybody, I feel this is my duty as a racing fan and a video game fan, that Formula One this year is using a technology called KERS.
Let's explain. You're talking about real, actual Formula One racing.
This is real Formula One racing, and in a moment you'll understand what this has to do with games. So the new season just started several weeks ago. I think they're going to do like their third race this Saturday. And so Formula One, real racing, they have this new technology called KERS. Right? It's an acronym for something. It's KERS. And what KERS is it's a regenerative braking system, where when you brake, it stores the energy collected from your braking power into this battery cell.
Like a hybrid.
Kind of like a hybrid, yeah. Now, unlike a hybrid, what they can do with the stored energy is they have literally a boost button on their steering wheel that, as they hold it down, adds an extra about 82 horsepower to their car.
About 82, give or take.
It's, I think, 82, nothing. 84, something like
That's significant.
Okay. Which they can use anytime they like. They can use it on the straights. They probably don't want to use it in a corner, just like in video games. But I'm so jazzed about this because real life is becoming so much like video games now that it just makes me giddy like a little girl.
The boost is pretty sweet.
That is kind of, and it makes me want to see it for at least a very short time. At least as much time as I watched Mad World get played.
Okay. I'm giving it that much credit.
I actually watched because Ara had told me about this a while back, and I watched the Australia race or whatever, wherever it was, and it was actually a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, very good, sir. Yes.
Because on top of really fast cars, there were also like three crashes, and it was sweet.
But did they like highlight the car orange or something when it goes into boost mode, like the hockey pucks used to be in Fox?
No, they don't do that, but they every once in a while when they give you the cockpit view, they'll give you some graphics that'll show, you know, like the gear and the RPMs and stuff. And so now they have this extra indicator that has this battery graphic, which is the KERS indicator.
Yep.
And so you can see when they're charging up the power and when they're using the boost.
So it's kind of like the little.
I really wish I could do that with my Prius.
It's pretty awesome.
If you can modify your Prius to have a boost button.
Yeah.
Let's find out if we can do that.
To use up all the batteries. That would be pretty.
Store up the battery and then just go out and just like just use the whole battery in one boost.
This is the next step. We can only wonder what they're going to do next to make it more like video games.
Missiles.
All right.
Hey, you know what? It's going to happen eventually.
Maybe.
It's only a matter of time and in what country.
All right. So you've got plenty of other things to discuss here. Lots of the paperwork. I also noticed just like during the show, I was reading. Apparently, the Xbox people got in touch with the gay community people after all that uproar about Xbox Live hating gays. I'm going to read that article during the break and see if there's anything interesting to actually discuss. So
we'll find out.
We'll be back.
And we're back. Woo! It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, the final segment.
I'm excited.
Now, I don't think we're available on the internet yet. Still. But
they're working on it.
You know where you could go on the internet, since you can't get to our website, is uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. A university that is quite possibly very accepting of the homosexual lifestyle. I really don't know. Haven't discussed it with them, But they may be very much like Microsoft, getting in tune with their more homosexual side. Apparently, Microsoft has been in talks with people from GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D. I don't even know what that stands for, but I knew that GLBT, I know what that stands for. And it's people who want, you know, gay rights and whatever.
You're just
so,
throwing letters
yeah, you know what? I just, I did actually try and look up that story before the show, and I just found something very interesting, right? When one of the ads on there, right, is for Match.com.
Okay.
But yeah, it wasn't a picture of a girl on that site, on that ad. It was a picture of a guy with the hat on and no shirt.
That makes sense.
Looking at me.
Are you reading it at gaygamer.net, which is where the story actually broke?
Yeah. So maybe you're looking at the same one.
They definitely have a lot of ads for gay guys. That's But not for Match.com.
I'm just saying.
Oh,
that,
no, there is one for Match.com.
I'm just saying that the Match.com one with the girl in it, the girl has clothes. Come on, that's not fair.
That's not fair.
But if it were legal to show her without clothes, I'm sure they would.
Yeah, but come
well,
on.
Well, I guess it's legal on the internet.
She doesn't even wear a bikini. Like, come on.
It's an attractive man. I don't have a problem with that.
And then they got to rub it in by putting a hat on him.
His hat. I'm looking at the same ad now, and his hat seems a little out of place.
Yeah, no, they're just mocking you with the hat.
I'll show it to Rich. Give me it. Here, Rich. Take a look.
Oh.
Right. All right, but hey.
Oh, that's awesome.
We love the Gay Gamer, guys. So go to gaygamer.net, not Joystick, if you want to read this this story. And so there really isn't a whole lot of information, but it seems that, you know, we mentioned this a while back very quickly on the show. I guess in February, one user on Xbox Live was pushed out or lost her account, suspended or whatever, because she identified herself as a lesbian.
Because she said, I am lesbian.
Yeah, or just like in the profile. Like, I don't think it was.
Or no, I think she said, like, I like girls.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's something
whatever.
Dumb.
I like girls too, and so I could put that. She probably put a girl who likes girls, something like that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be anything special.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they took her off of Xbox Live and got a lot of lashback for it, or backlash. And now apparently Microsoft has met with these people, and I guess like they're supposedly going to have quarterly meetings, and the Microsoft people are going to go out to some session or conference or something on homophobia and. Whatever, not like a support group.
Like. I mean, is really like all that necessary? I mean,
I don't see why this is such a big deal.
It seems like a little bit of overkill what Microsoft's doing, but it's just interesting to me to watch the Microsoft PR machine work. That's what's interesting about the story, right?
That's what it is. It's they just want to be very clear about their stance,
yeah,
right?
But they're doing it right. Like if I was part of the gay community, I would feel a lot better with Microsoft. Just like as a game player, I'm a lot better, or a lot happier to learn that. You know, they extended their warranty to 3 years, all the red rings they were dealing with. Now they've extended or expanded their warranty to deal with the E74 errors that are being thrown left and right these days.
Yep.
I mean, you know this. Your Xbox just red ringed, right?
Yeah, I got to mention, finally.
We've been waiting for it for a long time.
About 5 days ago, my Xbox finally red ringed, and it was one of the most joyous occasions of the week.
Did your Xbox update recently?
I don't know.
I think it updated.
Ari's been having problems with his Xbox forever, red ring.
But I'm wondering, though.
This thing's been on the fritz for like a year.
Wasn't there a system update last week, though?
I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
For Xbox Live?
That doesn't mean they're related.
I don't ask questions. I see the three red lights, and that thing is packaged and out the door before you can even blink.
Yeah, Ari was very happy about that because finally it red ringed, and now he'll be able to watch DVDs again. When he gets back.
Yeah, if and when I ever get back. No, I'll be able to play games again because it always thought that all my games were DVDs.
Oh,
that's funny.
Which I thought was insane that Microsoft just arbitrarily decides, well, this problem that makes your games unplayable is, you know, covered, but this other problem, which has the same essential effect, is not at all. So I'm glad that the problem A turned into problem B.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's interesting that Microsoft PR machine, like they're doing a really good job, and it's not common that you find a big company that has a lot of negativity, like Microsoft, a lot of negativity going towards them because of the whole operating system being a piece of junk thing.
They've been doing a lot
with Microsoft
of stuff.
With the Xbox. I mean, they've gotten it right. They really have. I mean, they don't get it right by having a system that fails, but they do. They make it right by making sure that gets corrected.
Oh, speaking of things being right or not, I got to throw out really quick. what is up with these PS3 updates? And specifically...
And they take 8 hours to install?
Hold on. So, yeah, specifically, Disgaea 3, okay, had an update that I have to install before I play the game. Okay, how big is the update? 250 megabytes, okay? Mm-hmm. This game probably fits in... It's probably exactly that big. It's not an asset or resource-heavy game.
No.
It just isn't. So what in God's green earth was I downloading?
What I don't understand is...
Where are these 250 megs going? What's going on
here? It's on a Blu-ray disc.
Yeah.
Why do they need another 250 megabytes to be downloaded?
I don't know.
I think that's a classic case.
What bugs
of...
me is that very simple updates on the PlayStation take friggin' forever.
Oh, I just don't understand it. Every time I'm at your place, is like we're like, oh, let's play this one game on the PS3, and then we have to wait 3 hours for it to update.
Yeah, it's also annoying that they forced the update.
Meanwhile, we
can
go download like 8 demos for games on the Xbox and play them, and then the PS3 is like, I need to update my kernel. It takes forever.
It's a little obnoxious. But I guess we could just unplug the internet and then not be bugged by the update warnings.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. That'll work.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, then you could play Disgaea 3 without updating, right?
But then what's he missing? That's 250 megabytes of content.
There's 250 megabytes of something that I don't know what I got.
That's significant content when the entire game is just like old PlayStation 1 sprites.
They probably, you know, like I'm just guessing, but I can't think of it being anything other than I just had to re-download the game all over again because they changed one line of code somewhere. Anyway, all right, so I got one more thing for you guys. You'll enjoy this.
Lay it on me.
So this involves PETA. That's right, the people for the ethical...
PETA and hummus?
Ethical treatment of animals.
PETA bread?
Not the food, the acronym, the organization.
Okay.
People for the ethical
treatment of animals?
That's right, and World of Warcraft. Okay. Now, last week, I'm glad I waited to mention this, because last week, or maybe a few days before that, they announced that they were going to have an event in World of Warcraft, PETA is, in order to protest... I don't know, killing of seals or something.
I hate them so much.
Right. So, well, now you'll enjoy this even more. And so what they said was, oh, we're going to meet in, you know, on such and such server at this place. And
I can see where this
we're going to stage
going.
An online protest.
I'm guessing a lot of people staged an online killing of all the PETA people.
Come on, guys, you're ruining it.
But I'm guessing. I have no idea.
Because they really probably didn't think ahead. And
it's what like... else? What else is the internet as a mass organized force going to do but be just completely contrary to what any...
Couldn't they have gone to a non-peer-to-peer server, though?
Legit organization is doing.
It's not peer-to-peer, but there's areas in the world that are open areas where everybody can kill whatever. Like, there's like alliance areas and port areas, and so where they're protesting was probably just an open area.
Okay, well, I don't remember exactly where it was.
That's funny.
But let me break it down for you guys. Basically, they're like, oh, we're going to like find some horde guys who are part of this like evil clan of killing seals or whatever, and we're going to like they're poachers or something, and we're going to go and hunt them down, and we're going to protest against killing seals, right? And
that's
so that was
really,
the plan.
Really
okay?
funny.
Now, what really happened, as you've already...
It was someone on the inside because they knew they wanted to beat up PETA, so they got PETA to go into World of Warcraft so they could beat him up.
Well, as you very astutely already guessed, what actually happened was instead of a bunch of Alliance people going to attack a few Horde people, a whole bunch of just Horde people showed up instead, and they started this guild called the Sea Cub Clubbing Club.
Seal Clubbing Club?
Seal Cub Clubbing Club.
Seal Cub Clubbing
and
Club.
And they killed a bunch of seals. And to top it all off, right, apparently there's this item called a Great Feast in the game. And when you drop it, it looks basically like a very nicely roasted, glistening boar on a platter. And so they dropped these all over the ground here. And it was just, it was just a brutal massacre. And I don't know, maybe PETA is satisfied because they got us to talk about them when we wouldn't otherwise.
That's all it is. What,
but I thought that was pretty
what's
cool.
What's interesting about this, though, is they had to organize this protest.
Could they ever appear?
And so they have X amount of people. That amount of people have to, one, buy World of Warcraft. And then, two, pay a month, or I guess you get the first month
free. No,
come
on. Probably all those people are addicts anyway.
Yeah, they already play.
Or they already all play. And so they either have, if they're non-players, level 1 characters, or if they are players, high-level characters. But then, like, a whole bunch of, like, level 80s just come around and just like, oh, we're going to kill you. Die. Because it's not the real world. Like, obviously we can't kill PETA protesters in real life, unfortunately. But in World of Warcraft, you can. And that's funny.
All right. That's fantastic.
Let's see what else we got.
That story is so silly to me.
Yeah, it is
and
silly.
And it's obviously just a request for media attention.
Yeah, in a way I kind of feel duped. But on the other hand, I
just want to know if any of them from PETA actually showed up.
I don't know, maybe. But I did think it was funny that there's a bunch of, you know, boar dinners just lying around there.
Okay.
In their face.
So we now have music playing, so you can discuss about something that's not silent. Yeah. Or, you know.
Yeah, well,
we were going to complain more
about... I want to talk about our silent epidemics. I've been referencing it all show, but we're kind of out of time. But I'll just give you guys a hint about it. What's our silent epidemic? Yes, that's right. It's video games and crayons, the crayon industry and the video game industry crippling our children's fingers.
Fun, fun, fun. Didn't we talk about this a couple weeks ago and decide that it was totally lame?
No. We said that might talk about it, and then we didn't.
All right. I secretly decided it was totally lame.
I wasn't listening.
That's all right. Arthritis, fingers, game controllers, whatever. The coloring industry.
Is wreaking havoc on our children's fingers.
All right. Well, on that note, we will end the show. And I hope that our website is up sometime soon so that people other than the live listeners can get a hold of this show, you know, through podcast.
Me too.
We'll be back next week, everybody.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.